Welcome to radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters. Firehouse.com brings you the leaders of the nation's fire, rescue, and EMS services, the top columnists and educators, and today's most important issues, headlines, and comments. Listen right on your desktop or download and listen on the go to firehouse.com.
Hi, I'm Aaron Kinney, professional football player and volunteer firefighter. Did you know that nearly half of all on-duty fire deaths are caused by heart attacks? Don't become a statistic. Take the challenge to become heart healthy. Visit healthy-firefighter.org. Firefighters, EMS personnel, and their families are invited to explore the site to find out how easy and rewarding it is to get healthy. It takes a person with the heart to do this job. Keep it strong.
Hello, and welcome to this podcast on National Firefighter Health Week. I am Chief Jeff Cash of the Cherryville Fire Department and North Carolina Director of the National Volunteer Fire Council. Health is a very relevant topic for firefighters and emergency medical personnel. Each year, more firefighters die in the line of duty from heart attacks than any other cause. Many more are diagnosed with life-changing or life-threatening conditions such as heart disease, diabetes, lung cancer, or depression. As a firefighter or emergency responder, there are many factors affecting your health that most people don't face. Responding to emergencies and the abrupt nature of the fire alarm puts extra stress on your heart. Periodically, being in the middle of these crisis situations impacts your mental well-being as well. Breathing in fumes and debris from fires or building collapse adds additional strain on your lungs. These concerns and others make it even more important for you to focus on your health and be ready, both mentally and physically, to face the challenges of being a first responder. The National Volunteer Fire Council launched the National Firefighter Health Week in 2007 to bring attention to some of the health issues facing first responders and to help motivate these individuals to making the necessary changes to their lifestyle to ensure that they live longer, healthier, and fuller lives. Taking that step towards a healthier lifestyle is often the hardest part. This podcast will introduce you to organizations, tools, and resources you can use to help make this transition or to continue on a healthy path you've already chosen. We also will hear from individuals who will share their stories about how they took on the challenge to become healthy and succeeded. This year, the National Firefighter Health Week is August 18th through 22nd. The topics we will discuss today are behavioral health, nutrition, heart health, lung health, and diabetes. Joining me now are Heather Davis, the Associate Cause Manager of the American Heart Association's START Initiative, Janet DeJesus, Nutritional Education Specialist at the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute's Center for the Application of Research and Discoveries, Chief Ron Sarnicki, Executive Director of the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation, and Maggie Wilson, Director of the Health and Safety for the National Volunteer Fire Council. We'll also be joined later by Mike Bitney and Mike Wilson, who will provide firsthand accounts how they have put some of the resources to use to improve their overall health. Ron, let's start with you. The National Fallen Firefighters Foundation has identified 16 life safety initiatives as a part of the Everyone Goes Home program. One of the focus areas of the life safety resource material is mental health. Can you tell us a little bit about this area?
Absolutely. The whole idea of behavioral health concerns for the fire service really was highlighted after the 9/11 tragedy. We've known that firefighters see some of the worst things that occur in our communities, and unfortunately it involves a very young and a very old. But 9/11 drove it home even more so with the amount of loss to the fire service that those firefighters working at Ground Zero had to deal with every day. And so when we had the summit in Tampa, representatives from FDNY made the case very well that we have to worry about what's going on inside the firefighter's head. And when you talk about, you know, health and wellness, it isn't just from the neck down. It also involves the mental aspects related to the disastrous situations that we're asked to respond to. And so it's got to be a balance between health and wellness related to diet, nutrition, exercise, but also the behavioral health of the firefighter, because that usually usually sets the trend for a firefighter's behavior and for how they're going to respond to other elements, such as whether they're going to stay fit or they're going to stay trained or they're going to suffer from depression or some of the other social economic elements that affect the fire community. And so all of it's tied together. It's all part of a master plan to make sure that firefighters are the healthiest and able to perform their duties without suffering from either the mental aspects or the physical aspects.
A new concern on the horizon, especially in my department, and a concern that I have, is the sleep deprivation issue. Much research is going on in this area now, and I'm anxious for our firefighters to learn how sleep deprivation is affecting our health. Another important factor in maintaining both mental and physical health is nutrition. Oftentimes, we take for granted what we eat, but not eating right can lead to a lot of problems, from the lack of concentration and energy to heart disease and diabetes. Maggie, what is the National Volunteer Fire Council doing to help first responders incorporate healthy eating into their lifestyles?
Thanks, Jeff. The NVFC has been doing quite a bit in the area of nutrition over the last several years. Like you said, proper nutrition is one of the cornerstones of a healthy lifestyle, and it can impact your health in so many different ways. Because of that, NVFC has been offering healthy cooking demonstrations at our Healthy Firefighter Program booth at trade shows around the country for the last 3 years. These cooking demonstrations give firefighters, emergency personnel, and their families a chance to learn about what healthy cooking involves, some hints and tips on how to cook nutritiously, and perhaps most importantly, at least for me, that eating healthy really does taste great. Through doing these cooking demonstrations, we learned how many firefighters and emergency personnel really need help with healthy cooking, coming up with ideas of things to cook, both at the station and at home. Because of that, we developed the Heart Healthy Firefighter Cookbook. The first edition of this cookbook was a huge success, so we beefed it up, added some more recipes, and we printed a second edition last year, which can be ordered through our website, healthy-firefighter.org. There's lots of great recipes submitted by firefighters, all the recipes that we do at our cooking demonstrations, and several of our work group members contributed recipes to the cookbook. Something new that we're implementing this year and encouraging fire departments to do as well is to take a field trip to a local grocery store to learn how to do grocery shopping for healthy foods. I think it's hard for a lot of people when they are starting to eat healthy to figure out, okay, how do I shop at a grocery store? What is healthy and what should I be looking for? And I think what a lot of people might not know is that most grocery stores have a nutritionist or dietitian on hand to help you shop like that and learn what healthy choices you should be making. This year we're going to be doing a couple tours of grocery stores locally here in the Washington, D.C. area as part of our Health and Fitness Advocate program, which I'll talk about a bit more later. But I would suggest that fire departments go out, call their local grocery store, and try and get one of these tours. They're typically free and a really great experience for all your firefighters. Much of the help in planning this has been from one of our work group members, the American Dietetic Association, who plans events like these all over the country. Another one of our work group members, who has lots of great resources on nutrition that we often use and recommend to fire departments, is the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute. Something that I use a lot when I give presentations on nutrition is about how portion sizes have changed drastically over the past few decades. The NHLBI has a great tool for this. And Janet, would you mind talking about some of the tools that NHLBI has, especially the portion distortion tool?
Sure, Maggie, thanks. On the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute website, we have an interactive tool called Portion Distortion, as Maggie alluded to. And basically anyone eating on the run or at restaurants, you've probably noticed that portions have gotten larger in the past 20 years. Some portions are called supersize, while others have simply grown in size and even provide enough food for at least two people. And with this growth, we have seen increases in waistlines and body weight. So if you'd like to see how portions have grown in the last 20 years, quiz yourself. We have two different quizzes, Portion Distortion 1 and a second quiz. And you can also learn about how if you eat these large portions, how much physical activity you'll have to do to burn off the extra calories provided by today's portions. And you can either find that on the NHLBI website website, and you can Google NHLBI, or it's nhlbi.nih.gov, or the easiest way to get straight to the portion distortion quiz is just Google portion distortion, and it should come right up. And along with portion distortion, we also have a BMI calculator where you can enter your height and weight, and you can learn actually what your BMI is, which is your body mass index, and you can find out if you are in a healthy weight range or if it might be important for you to lose weight. And we have a lot of other resources, but I will save that for later and pass it back to Jeff.
Janet, that was excellent information, some excellent resources for firefighters and EMS personnel. In addition to nutrition, fitness is a vital component of health. Both of these are key factors in maintaining a healthy heart. In fact, this is the premise of the American Heart Association's START program. Heather, can you tell us more about your program?
Sure, Jeff. Thank you. The START program is an initiative by the American Heart Association that focuses on wellness and physical activity for Americans, and we target individuals in the workplace as well. One of our programs that we have, which is a free program, is called the Fit Friendly Companies Program, and it's a recognition program that recognizes employee sites as being fit friendly and recognizing wellness as an initiative that the company is taking. And fire departments can actually become fit friendly as well. And you can do so by going to heart.org/start and filling out an application. Some of the other programs that we have that support that are, we have a free online tool called My Start Online, and that can be accessed at startchallengetool.org. And that's actually a nutrition and activity tracker that will allow you to track your physical activity and nutrition intake and create a history of that, which will allow you to make better decisions moving forward. So I'll hand it back to Jeff.
Heather, thanks. That was some great information. I recently accessed your website and found some of the tools to be very useful for my department.
Great.
Maggie, heart attack is the number one cause of line of duty deaths in the fire service. The NVFC has developed the Heart Healthy Firefighter Program to combat heart disease in the fire service. What resources are available through the NVFC to firefighters individually and to their fire departments?
Sure. Let me start by saying that one of the cornerstones of the Heart Healthy Firefighter Program is awareness. Awareness of proper nutrition, awareness of how much physical activity people should be getting each week, and awareness of the risk factors that cause heart disease. One of the largest components of our program over the last 5 years has been our health fair, which we bring to different trade shows around the country. I already talked about the cooking demonstrations that we do at the trade shows, but one of the other main things that we do there is free health screenings for firefighters. Many people, firefighters or not, don't know their numbers, and this is a really quick and simple way to find out. We test for cholesterol, blood pressure, body composition. We've also done glucose screenings. The tests take about 10 minutes. You get your results almost instantaneously. You can choose to share these results with your doctors or not. That would be up to you. I'm proud to say that since we've implemented this program, we've performed screenings on over 15,000 individuals at these shows, and we're continuing to do more shows this year and next year. Now, having said this, we're quite aware of the fact that many firefighters might not attend any of these shows. So how are they supposed to find out their numbers if the fire department doesn't have funding or doesn't offer these screenings each year? One of the first things that I suggest to folks when I talk to them is to check and see if there's a Medical Reserve Corps unit in their area. The Medical Reserve Corps unit is part of the Office of the Surgeon General. It's also one of the partner programs, the Citizen Corps, which is a national network of volunteers. Medical Reserve Corps units are made up of medical and public health professionals, all volunteer, who can come to your fire department and do these health screenings for you at no cost or provide health education for your firefighters and emergency medical personnel. If your town doesn't have a Medical Reserve Corps unit, there's plenty of other things you can do. You'll hear more from Mike Bitney later, one of our Fired Up for Fitness participants, but Mike took it upon himself to come up with a way for his fire department to get the health screenings that they needed. He simply went to his local hospital, explained the situation that they didn't have funding to provide this for all these firefighters, and asked if the hospital would donate them, and they did. Sometimes it's simply a matter of asking and doing a little thinking outside the box. Whether it's a hospital, a medical reserve corps unit, a doctor's office, another community organization, most places are willing to offer this service. All you need to do is get out there and ask. So we highly encourage you to go ahead and try and do this.
Maggie, that's great information. I have been had the opportunity to be a participant through the screenings at some of the trade shows, and the numbers are quite revealing occasionally. It's actually what made me realize that my cholesterol was becoming elevated and that I needed to take more attention, to pay more attention to my numbers. We have a gentleman on our board that says the numbers that you don't know could actually kill you. So we laugh at that, but it is factual. Another thing in our department, we got concerned because some of our people thought the screenings were designed to exclude them from the fire service, and that's far from the objective of the screenings. It's to help the firefighters know and understand how critical their numbers are through the screenings, that they could be viable for the department, and it's not in any way to exclude anybody. One of the ways we did it here was to bring the families in. The spouses and the children also as a part of our screening and our physical fitness program and our nutrition programs. And what we're doing is trying to change the culture. Like you said, it's more about exposure and education. Maggie, back to the Heart Healthy Firefighter Program. What are some other resources that are available?
Well, as I said before, the Heart Fair has been one of our largest parts of the program over the last few years. But we're really excited because we're launching several new initiatives here, which I think are really going to help all the first responders out there. The first of these is our Health and Fitness Advocate Program, which is a two-day workshop that we've designed to give participants the basic principles behind developing a sound health and fitness program. The workshop includes an overview of anatomy, physiology, and the biomechanics that really are the foundations for designing a safe and effective exercise program. After people complete this workshop, they'll be able to go back to their departments with the knowledge and skills to mobilize everyone in their department to begin to practice healthier behaviors and a healthier lifestyle. Right now, we're doing these workshops in the Washington, D.C. area, but we're planning on bringing them to other parts of the country within the next 12 months. Another component that we're launching this year is making the Heart Healthy Firefighter Program adoptable. And by this, we are developing an online database where firefighters can go and register, and they'll have access to lots of great tools and resources. We're asking that each person who registers signs a pledge to become heart healthy. Each department will have their own page, and within that, each firefighter will have access to the database where they can discover resources on heart health, nutrition, physical activity, and much more. We're developing message boards where firefighters can talk with others around the country about tips and hints for becoming heart healthy, what worked for them, what didn't, great recipe ideas, whatever they want to talk about, as well as monthly talks with experts in the health arena. We're also moving our Fired Up for Fitness Challenge into this database. Our Fired Up for Fitness Challenge is an online program where firefighters and emergency service personnel can log their daily physical activity. The challenge lasts for 12 months, and throughout the 12 months, if participants reach certain fitness goals, they're rewarded with prizes to help keep them motivated. Of course, we have many other resources to help folks become healthy or maintain their already healthy lifestyle. So I'd really just encourage everyone to visit our website, healthy-firefighter.org, to look at more of our resources or join any of the programs I've just talked about.
Thanks, Maggie. The resources are there. We just need to encourage firefighters across the nation to take advantage of them. Janet, what resources does the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute have for people looking to get heart healthy?
Thanks, Jeff. The National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, we have a lot of great campaigns as well as publications that are available on our website. First of all, I'll go over briefly our campaigns. We have our Act in Time to Heart Attack Sign campaign that was launched several years ago, actually in partnership with the American Heart Association, the Red Cross, and a few other partners. And this is where people can learn about if they're at risk for heart disease, who is at risk, and what are the warning signs if themselves or someone else might be having a heart attack. One of our other campaigns is the Heart Truth, and this is focused on women because most people don't know that heart disease is the number one killer of women also. And This has a lot of great information on how women can learn about their risk factors and how they can get healthy and also help the rest of their family get healthy. And the main point of the Heart Truth, actually the symbol, is the red dress, and the first Friday of every February is Wear Red Day, so we encourage, you know, the women to pull out their favorite red dress, and even the men can get involved and wear like a red shirt or a red tie. So that's a nice centerpiece for that campaign. Another great campaign for parents is called We Can. It's ways to enhance children's activity and nutrition, and this includes a parent program and also some curriculum for youth. And the main point of this is for parents to learn how to get their children more active, provide them more healthy nutrition, and to decrease screen time. So examples of screen time are TV watching, computer use, and playing video games. So We Can is actually a overweight prevention program out there for parents. A couple of the resources that we have our Diseases and Condition Index on the NHLBI website. And this is actually a great site that people can go to and find out about all kinds of diseases as far as heart and blood vessel diseases, tests that they may have done, lung diseases, sleep disorders, and that's dci.nhlbi.nih.gov. And as far as getting healthy, we have a lot of great guides that people can use. We have recipe books. We have a Keep the Beat Heart Healthy Calendar. We have a Your Guide series that actually goes in-depthly into each risk factor. So, for example, we have a Your Guide to lowering cholesterol. We have one on blood pressure, sleep, physical activity, weight control. And those are more in-depth guides. And we also have in-brief guides, which are usually limited to about 5 pages that go briefly over the risk factors and what you can do about them. And all of these are available for free download on the NHLBI website. I believe if you do order a copy, you can get the first copy for free. But please always check our website first. And I think that's about it. So I'll turn it back to Jeff.
Yeah, and it sounds like the NHLBI has some great programs, not only for firefighters and EMS personnel, but for the entire family. Ron, in addition to the stress that firefighting puts on the heart, another concern is the effect it has on firefighters' lungs. Firefighters face many dangers to their respiratory system, including exposure to smoke, carbon monoxide, debris from burning buildings and collapses, as well as possible contact with hazardous material. Can you tell us what firefighters can do to protect their lungs?
The whole idea of ensuring that we have adequate protection for our lungs really goes back to a couple of basic steps. Over the years, some of the best apparatus has been designed to help us to breathe during hazardous conditions. The key is that firefighters wear it, and that's one piece that is often recognized as firefighters who take their protective breathing apparatus off too early in an emergency operation or put it on too late. Things like respirators and other types of devices that help filter the air are available for use during the different operations. The critical thing is using that equipment. And that goes back to a little bit of the culture of the fire service. That goes back to also some of that the behavioral issues that we were talking about earlier, is getting firefighters to understand that the decisions they make on the fire ground could very well have a long-term effect on their health and wellness. And actually that goes to the whole idea of the heart healthy aspect. Decisions firefighters make every day affect their health and wellness for the long-term efforts that they're going to put into the fire service activities. And so what we see happening is more and more firefighters are starting to say, you know what, I'm going to wear my breathing apparatus. I'm going to use it through overhaul. Yes, it's cumbersome. It may be a little heavy, but it's the best thing to do for me. And the key that we have to work on, which is the other side of that, is to try and change that attitude that, you know, the old leather lungs, you know, title that's been given in the fire service, and you know, real firefighters don't need breathing apparatus. You've heard all of those what we call cowboy activities. And some of that is myth, but unfortunately, names like leather lungs wasn't developed over the years because those firefighters' lungs were healthy. It's because they were burned. They were damaged by these products of combustion. They were put into a position where they weren't working properly. And so what we've got to do is we've got to think through some of the macho type of atmospheres that we've created in the fire service, and some of that aspects of, you know, the tough firefighter, and understand that wearing your breathing apparatus doesn't take away from your ability to be a good firefighter. It actually enhances it. And it's a critical factor to get through that dilemma of that image of the perfect firefighter. And, you know, I often laugh about some of the television productions that were done about the fire service. And there's one famous scene in Backdraft where the primary firefighter is running out of the building with a baby in one arm and an axe in another. His coat's wide open, and there's fire all around him and no breathing apparatus. And the reality is, you know, he wouldn't even be standing, let alone running out the building in those conditions, because most likely he would be overcome by the products of combustion. And so that image is what gets projected out there, and that's what we have to change as well.
Thanks, Ron, for that information. Janet, one concern for lung and heart safety is smoking issues. Can you elaborate on some of those concerns?
Sure. Smoking not only affects your lung health, but it also affects your heart. There are some lifestyle changes firefighters should make to ensure that they're not putting unnecessary stress on both their lungs and their heart. And as I mentioned, smoking hurts the lungs and contributes to heart disease. And here are some of our best tips for quitting smoking. First of all, we recommend that people set a quit date initially, that they really sign a contract and say, I'm going to quit on this day. Throw away all cigarettes, lighters, you know, anything that will remind them of smoking. We recommend people to line up support. Tell your family, friends, and coworkers that you're going to quit smoking and that you need their help. It's best to find ways to relax, try to distract yourself, to urge from smoking, change up your routine a little bit, do something to reduce your stress, like physical activity, listen to music, plan something that's enjoyable every day. Use other quitting aids if needed. You can talk to your doctor, other healthcare providers about the nicotine patch, gum. They even have some nasal spray or inhalers now to help you stay off cigarettes. And finally, be prepared if you don't have immediate success. Many people have to try a few times when they are finally successful in quitting smoking, but don't ever give up in that you can do it. Physical activity is also important for lung and heart health. So if you're not, if you don't currently have a physical activity plan, it's good to be active. And also see a doctor if you're having trouble breathing or have a persistent cough. And I'll turn it back over to Jeff.
During the National Firefighter Health Week, coming up August 18th through 22nd, Friday of 22nd will focus on diabetes. One of the hidden risks firefighters face is diabetes. It is estimated about a third of the people who have diabetes in the U.S. don't even realize they have it. Maggie, what should people look out for?
Sure. There's a few things people should look out for. Some of the symptoms of diabetes include increased thirst, increased hunger, weight loss, fatigue. Some people might have blurred vision, sores that just don't seem to heal, increased urination, especially at night. To find out your risk level for developing diabetes, the American Diabetes Association website, which is diabetes.org, has a great tool you can use to measure your risks. Some of the risk factors for developing diabetes are having a family member with the disease, high blood pressure, which is another reason that you should always know your numbers, a history of heart disease, and low HDL levels, which is your good cholesterol. Again, we have lots of great information on our website about diabetes and heart disease and everything else. I'd just like to let everyone know that all of these resources that I've talked about or any of the work group members have talked about are all available through our website, healthy-firefighter.org. And I'll pass it back to you, Jeff.
Thanks, Maggie. many people may be surprised to know that the majority of people who have diabetes die from heart attack or stroke. Heather, what are some of the resources that the American Heart Association can provide in this area?
Sure, Jeff. The Heart of Diabetes program was created by the American Heart Association to raise awareness of this issue and help people with type 2 diabetes take action to lower their risk for heart disease and stroke. You can find many great resources on our website at heart.org/diabetes.
Thanks, Heather. Ron, earlier we mentioned the National Fallen Firefighter Foundation's life safety initiatives. Can you tell us more about them?
Absolutely. In 2004, the National Fallen Firefighters Foundation held the first ever National Fallen Firefighter Summit, which was held in Tampa, Florida. And it really was designed to start talking about how we can reduce firefighter fatalities across the country. And out of that summit came 16 individual life safety initiatives. And those initiatives really look at a multitude of activities, events, and processes that the fire service can take on to reduce firefighter fatalities and reach a goal that actually was set by the United States Fire Administration several years earlier to reduce firefighter fatalities by 25% over the next 5 years and 50% over the next 10. And that goal truly is obtainable, because if we look at the two leading causes of firefighter fatalities, of course, the first and largest is heart attacks, stress, cardiovascular incidents, and that's what this program is doing a great job of addressing. That alone is half the deaths in our country. And then another 20% is vehicle accidents. And so if we focus on those things, we can make that happen. But the whole idea behind the initiatives was to give people a blueprint of the steps that they can take to reduce the potential of having a firefighter fatality occur in their department. And there's a lot of things covered, everything from the cultural issues of the fire service, accountability related to codes and standards for the building industry, standards for the fire service, the idea of sprinklers, the idea of health and wellness. All those things fit into that. And what has to happen is the fire service has to take a look at where their department has its biggest weaknesses and start there. Because with 16 initiatives, that's a lot for anyone to bite off. It's a lot better process. And so the departments that are being successful at it are taking the 16 initiatives, doing an assessment of their activities, of their department's activities, and of their membership, and then they're saying these are the areas where we can make the first amount of impact, kind of the low-hanging fruit. And then this is where we're going to work to. We're going to set some goals and objectives along the way in smaller increments to be able to improve our survivability in the overall perspective. And that's critical, because the one thing that really comes out when we talk about firefighter fatalities is that it isn't the loss to the firefighter, because that's tragic. That's just an awful occurrence. But what's even worse is the families. The families have to go on without their loved one. And they're the ones that suffer forever from the standpoint of living through the loss of the firefighter and then trying to find a way to get their life back to some level of normalcy as they try to rebuild their lives. And so that should be and that can be the motivation for most firefighters. Not, don't do it necessarily for yourself. Do it for your family who has to go on without you after your death has occurred.
Ron, thanks for the National Fallen Firefighters' efforts to protect the nation's firefighters.
Radio at firehouse.com. Real issues, real answers, real firefighters.
I'm Brian Williams, NBC Nightly News. As a former volunteer firefighter, I know fire departments around this country need your help with fundraising, education, promotions, and other non-emergency tasks. Visit www.firecorps.org to find a program near you.
Now that we've heard from several experts regarding the resources available to you, let's hear from people who are like you who have made changes in their life to become more healthier. Mike Wilson was the winner of the American Heart Association's first National Start Challenge. Mike, what motivated you to take this challenge, and what did you do to win?
Well, thank you, Jeff. In the previous year, I had worked with several programs with our local chapter of the American Heart Association. I had an interest in this. About 15 years ago, I had a twin brother who died of sudden heart attack. And then a year ago, I had my youngest sister also die of a sudden heart attack. So I had a deep commitment to helping the American Heart Association. I was encouraged by local staff members of the American Heart Association to apply for the START Challenge and was chosen one of the six national finalists. I prepared, and during the challenge, the tenets of the START Challenge program were to exercise, especially walking, and eating heart healthy. We were flown to the national headquarters in Dallas. We met cardiologists, nutritionists, and exercise experts that gave us great advice. During the challenge, I exercised daily, got up at 5 o'clock every morning, walked, treadmill every day. I was in terrible shape when I started. I was overweight. I weighed 377 pounds, had a higher cholesterol count. The previous year I had a knee replaced, so I had an artificial knee. So I was limited on what exercise I could do. I couldn't run or jog. I'm not allowed by doctors to do that. So I would walk treadmill, just get out and walk. A couple of nights a week I would do total body. I would lift every other morning. And then I would do the total body with the upper body workouts and the lower body and on the weight machines. I stayed with this throughout the course of the program. I believe it was 4 months long. And I saw tremendous results. And at the end of the contest, since the day I was announced as a START Challenge winner, at this point I've lost 84 pounds. My cholesterol, the total cholesterol count is down to 106 total cholesterol. I was in the doctor's office the other day. My blood pressure was 95 over 65. So with the guidance of the American Heart Association, exercising daily and eating very heart healthy, I feel like at this point I have a very heart healthy lifestyle and have changed that. So it was a successful program, and appreciated all the help I got from the American Heart Association. And I figured that if a 58-year-old man with an artificial knee that was very much overweight could do this, that other people could do it also. So I enjoy going around the city and talking to various groups and inspiring others, and would love to see the firefighters become heart healthy as well.
Very inspirational, Mike. Thanks. We also have Mike Bitney here to share his story. Mike was one of the most successful participants in the NVSC Fired Up for Fitness Challenge. But as we all know, sometimes people who make a heart healthy lifestyle change can fall back into old patterns. Mike, tell us your story.
Good morning, Jeff. First, I want to congratulate Mike on winning the American Heart Association Challenge. That's it's a very moving story, and I'm glad that he shared it with all of us. My story is somewhat similar. I took the NVFC's Heart Healthy Challenge in 2003. I joined the fire service at the age of 40 as a late calling in life after 9/11. I realized quickly I was out of shape. I wanted to keep up with the younger guys on the department. And I went online to try to research what resources were there to help firefighters, especially in my circumstance, volunteers, get heart healthy and get more fit and healthier overall. I went to the NVFC's website, or I found it through Googling different resources, took up the challenge, was motivated to work out every day, began working with both cardiovascular and strength training, dropped about 35 pounds. My goal originally was to lose the amount of weight that I carried on my back with my SCBA. And I lost about 35 pounds. My numbers went down significantly. My health improved. And ultimately, I was told by Maggie Wilson that I'd been selected as the Fitness Challenge winner. Flew out to Dallas, had a great time at the expo out there, and then settled back into my routine in northern Wisconsin. And after the spotlight died down and went about my business in the community, I started letting things slide. My nutrition slipped, my exercise routine slipped, and my weight began to increase again. This came to a head back in 2007. Two things happened at the same time. Maggie had called me, Maggie Wilson, and asked if I was interested in doing a follow-up as the former Heart Healthy winner. And about the same time, I was on a hunting trip with my son, and we were in the process of dragging a deer out of the woods, and I began to experience some stiffness and tightness in my chest. And those things were a wake-up call for me, and frankly, they scared me. And I went in right away and saw my physician, reviewed my numbers, and they were up. And so I rededicated myself to, again, eating heart healthfully. I began to, again, to eat more salads, less fats, more fruits, drink more water, less sugar. The doctor had put me on a cholesterol medication. I asked him not to do that because I was confident that I could bring my numbers back down with just exercise and nutrition changes. But because the numbers were up, he made me go on a cholesterol medication. 10 weeks later, I was very proud to check back into my doctor's office and found out that my numbers had dropped significantly. He said they were the highest drops he had seen in a 10-week period, and as long as he'd been practicing medicine. I was taken off the cholesterol medication, and I've, again, kept up with heart-healthy eating. I've kept up with my physical fitness routine. I enjoy golfing. I walk my rounds. Like Mike, I enjoy walking myself and with my family. I enjoy hiking. I enjoy cooking, too, so that's a challenge, trying to find ways to cook that are healthy instead of the old bacon and grease and everything else that a lot of firefighters enjoy. But I'm very thankful to NVFC and especially to Maggie Wilson and all of the other care providers out there that have a lot of free resources that can truly enlighten firefighters as to the importance of health and nutrition and exercise in their own lives. And what I've done, Jeff, is I'm proud that I've brought this back to our own small volunteer department here in Wisconsin, and I have organized a health screening for our department. We did it back in 2004, and I'm proud to say that we're going to do it again this fall with the commitment from our local medical center and clinic that are, again, going to provide free of charge health screenings for all our volunteer firefighters. And most of them have taken up the screening process. They've thanked me that they became aware of some of the risks that they didn't appreciate or know. I'm seeing a lot of my fellow firefighters in the gym, on the street walking or riding their bicycles in the summertime. And it's just been a real eye-opening experience for me. And if I didn't have the resources such as NVFC and the Heart Association and the others out there that provide this free of charge, I may have become one of those tragic statistics that we know take firefighters every year, primarily through heart disease and heart attacks. So that's my story, Jeff. Sticking to it. I'm glad to share it with my fellow firefighters and people in the fire service. I hope other people take up the challenge because it can truly be beneficial to them and their families.
Thanks, Mike. You, too, as well, are truly an inspiration. We have thrown a lot of information at you today as listeners. You can get additional information. The resources are available. Please go to healthy-firefighter.org for additional information. I want to thank the expert panel we've had on our podcast today, Mike Bitney, Heather Davis, Janet DeJesus, Ron Sarnicki, Maggie Wilson, and Mike Wilson. Special thanks to Firehouse.com for recording this podcast and for supporting the NVSC and America's Fire Service. And again, thank you for participating. We look forward to you contacting us about the resources you need to protect yourself and your family.
If you have a comment on this program, drop us a line at radio@firehouse.com. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned to firehouse.com for more broadcasts like these. Or visit our website at www.firehouse.com/radio.